There are so many great things happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
It's like in the Book of Esther. God has placed each of us in this local church for a time like this.
We're just all people of God.
You know, we're all human. We're all fallen. We're all sinners.
I think we put on Christ, we put on love.
Put on Christ with us as we learn to witness in new ways, find inspiration in those around us, and look for guidance from the Holy Spirit, our Holy Mother Church, and the shepherds of our local church.
Because we're all on a journey.
Continue this journey with us now with another episode of Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm Leah Hazelton, and it is just me on the show this week. Father Tom is out enjoying some time with his family that's out of state. Our guests this week are Bishop Kevin Kenny. He is talking about the joys of summer, his life growing up in the summer in the Twin Cities, things he looks forward to, and how he really takes it as a time of rest and renewal. And our second guests are Mike and Kristen Fulcher, who talk about the call to invitation and the influence invitation into community life has had on them. And I know that I've experienced that in my life really deeply as well. After my first year of college, I had a pretty good friend group. They were great people. We all shared the faith. We would go to Mass together every Sunday. But there was a little bit of lack of depth of relationships. And that summer, I got invited to go to someone's cabin. And it was a guy I was not super good friends with at the time, but he was friends with one of my friends. So I thought, okay, I'll go to the cabin. Like, we'll see. I didn't really know what to expect at this cabin, but once I got there, there was like 20 other people, all of who went to my same college, but that I didn't know. And by the end of that weekend, I had made so many friends, and I was just invited into this beautiful and intentional community that I was looking for and praying for, but I guess I didn't realize until a lot later that that is what it was. And coming up this weekend, I'm going to that same cabin for the 9th time in a row. And it's been so beautiful to see how just this one invitation to a summer cabin has really radically changed my life. I wouldn't have the friends I have today if it wasn't for this cabin. I probably wouldn't know Christ in the way that I do if I didn't have this cabin weekend with those friendships that stemmed from it. I remember my roommate and I met at that cabin weekend, and I remember her saying, oh, I bet Leah and I will just be friends like at lunch sometime. But as soon as we got back to campus, I called her immediately because there was just something in the friendship that we formed that weekend that I knew would last, and I knew that was different than the other friendships I've had. And I'm reflecting a lot now on that invitation and just how deep and meaningful it was, and that I've been able to extend that same invitation to other people I meet. My group of friends and I are really intentional about trying to find new people to join the friend group and see what kind of influence we can be on them, but then also that they can be on us. And everyone has these different unique charisms and ways that the Holy Spirit's leading them and calling them, and it just makes for such a great time. There's different movie watchers who like train us in all of these cinematic kind of things, or there's these bookworms like me who make everyone read classic books even though they don't want to, or like the people who know how to like just plan a good party and plan something that you can invite others into. So hearing Mike and Kristen talk about that this week is going to be really influential for you and for all of our listeners. Summer has a way of bringing a different rhythm to life. The days are longer, families spend more time together, and many of us find opportunities to rest, travel, and enjoy God's creation. As we settle into the season, we're joined by Auxiliary Bishop Kevin Kenny to reflect on the joys of summer, the blessings it offers, and how we can make the most of these months. Bishop Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Father Tom is not joining us today, so everyone is just stuck with Bishop Kenny and I.
Oh, that's a joy.
Agreed. So, Bishop, when you think of summer, what's kind of the first thing that comes to mind for you?
Daylight. Oh, ooh. Early morning to late night and warm weather and yeah. Just kind of relax.
Yeah.
Take it easy, you know? Mm-hmm. I love summer for that.
Oh, okay. I'm a big fan of summer too. I love sitting outside on my deck and just like being in the sun. I love when it's very, very warm too.
Yeah. And I love at night sitting out. I have a little porch at the rectory, sit out there and just between the skyscrapers downtown, trying to look for stars. And
yeah.
But it's so nice just to sit out in the quiet and hear the sounds of the city. And I love the birds in the morning. I mean, listening to the birds sing and just summer sounds are beautiful as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What was summer like for you growing up as a kid? You grew up in South Minneapolis, right?
Right.
What was that like?
Well, back in the dark ages, you know, when I grew up. No, we we didn't have cell phones. TV was not allowed to be watched during the day in our house. And so back then, as kids, we were able to just probably had a chore or two we had to do. But, you know, you've just been pushed out the side door and go out and have fun because there were like four families with seven kids in the neighborhood. And so we just go out and play. And then all of a sudden a bell would ring. It meant time to come in for lunch to your own house.
Who rang the bell?
My mother.
Oh, okay. Your mother. Okay. Okay.
And then after lunch, you would go out again and till dinner and a bell would ring. And every house had a different bell. So you could tell who was calling who, you know.
That's amazing.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, you go biking, inner tubing down Minnehaha Creek. I mean, that was really fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Go down to Lake Harriet. Just, you know, there were lots and lots of things to do. And we just kept ourselves busy.
Yeah. Yeah, was it fun to, like, be with your siblings all summer? I remember that growing up, that was kind of my favorite part of the summer, was to be with my sisters all day, every day.
No.
You liked getting away from them.
I love them dearly, but no. Well, we all had our own friends in the neighborhood, too,
yeah.
You know, and so it was just to go out with them. And then starting in fifth grade, I had an afternoon paper route. So that was always every afternoon having to go deliver the papers. And sometimes I'd bribe one of my sisters to help me. You know, I'd buy them treats at the grocery store, Low General on the corner or something like that. And so that
That's
was
so
fun.
Picturesque, too, Matt. I can just close my eyes and picture little Kevin Kenny biking around. What was it like for your family? Did you guys like have any summer traditions or like vacation spots you would go to?
We always went to Big Island.
Okay, where is that?
Lake Minnetonka.
Okay.
It's known as the Party Island, but that's on one side. The other was a veterans camp.
Okay.
And so it was really nice. They had a cabins around, and then down the hill was the bathroom and the showers, and then they had a big place where you went to eat. And all the meals, three meals a day, were served. And again, you just kind of ran around and went to the beach, and we water skied. And so that when there were three, four different families who we all got together every year to do that. And that was really fun.
And what was going to Mass like in the summer then?
I skipped Mass all summer long. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure I had to serve one or two of the 6:30 Masses every week, but I mean, just going to Sunday Mass was always fun, and every Sunday, but especially in the summer when, you know, if we were good at Mass, we got to go to the donut shop and get donuts, but Minnehaha Falls also used to have kitchens, or they had in their open area grills, so you would bring your quarters and you'd put your quarters, turn the grill on, and we'd cook pancakes and sausages and have a little picnic for breakfast, you know, after Mass down at Minnehaha Falls. That was always fun.
Yeah. Would you have to serve at weddings or anything like that in the summer?
No, I actually did not. I did a lot of funerals.
Okay, okay.
But not too many weddings.
Yeah. So you mentioned that the first thing you think of when you think of summer is the daylight and the sunshine. I often, in the summer, like, I just love the color green. And I look outside and I see all of the green. And it just makes me, like, be in so much awe of God's creation.
Correct,
How do you think about that?
Oh, I do, too. And I just love spring where everything is bare. All of a sudden, it warms up a little. The rain comes and it should boop, 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 boop. Everything pops out. And it's like... Wow, and now you walk around and everything is just full of green. And I love gardening, too. And so I would, as a child, I'd always plant pumpkins seeds. So I had my own little pumpkin patch growing in the backyard. And my dad did, like, tomatoes and other vegetables. And now I try to just do on my little porch peppers and tomatoes and then have flower boxes. And so I like gardening is always fun.
I don't know. My dad never gardened or anything like that, so I never think of men gardening, but that's awesome.
We had a great backyard
growing
up that we could do that.
Yeah.
I did corn one summer, but I thought that would be fun. Let's grow corn in the city. I think I got two stalks.
Hey, you got two's better than none.
Right, right.
what was that like tending to it all summer and then like just waiting for the produce to come?
Well, the pumpkins were incredible because all of a sudden you're like, where are they? And you look behind a leaf and there's a big pumpkin growing, and mm-hmm. you'd get a lot off a plant. And then, but pumpkins are vines, so they go all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I don't think my dad or mom were very happy about that. But anyway, they let me do it. And then weeding was my least favorite thing to do. So especially the dandelion weeding, where you had to take a little knife and go through and try to dig out the roots. And, you know, we always liked the dandelions. We'd, as mm-hmm. kids, we'd pick them, and mom always liked little bouquets of dandelions. I think she just accepted them because as little kids, we'd always run around, pick them, and give them to her, you know?
She loved your gifts.
Right, right.
I'm thinking about the Bible. There's so many Bible imagery, so much Bible imagery of like gardens and vines and branches and plants. Like reflecting back on like your summer gardens as a kid, like, do you think that taught you anything about like the spiritual life and things like that?
Good question. Just how do things grow, and just the mystery of the connectedness, you're right, with the vine. If the vine becomes detached, it withers and dies. Sort of keep all that going, you know, the tomatoes, and trying to figure out, okay, what do you need in order for them to feed off each other or to make each other grow? And just always amazing to see the growth and then the produce that they produce.
Yeah, and like participating in creation. That's been something that's come out to me a lot lately in my prayers, just with my cousin the other day. And she was at a plant shop and she was just like buying seeds for her home garden at her house. And she was like, wow, there's so many people here who like want to like add beauty into the world and like participate in creation.
Right. And that was always fun to do it from seed. Mm-hmm. Now I just go to the store and buy them already, you know, growing, so that I don't have to worry about putting the seeds in the springtime in the window to get them growing and all that. But that was always fun.
Yeah. Once you became a priest, what was summer like at your parishes?
Slowed down a little, which was really nice, especially the two parishes I had that had schools. Mm-hmm. But to be able to spend time outside, when I was at St. Olaf the first time around, I do a lot of biking.
Yeah.
And I moved to Our Lady of Peace, and there was a 22-mile bike path around the city that I would take almost every day. It took about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour to do. And just to get out in the neighborhoods and enjoy being outdoors, enjoying the scenery, the growth that was going on. And
now back at St. Olaf, like what kind of summer ministry do you have going on?
The continual, serving the poor and those who come through, and just welcoming. Otherwise, just the regular daily liturgies. And then I think for me, it's just being present, being downtown and being available to the people who come through and visitors. And we don't have too many, you know, we don't do vacation Bible school and all that.
Yeah, kind of
stuff, because we don't have kids at St. Olaf. But we really do slow down a bit during the summer.
Yeah. How have you seen, like, the area change? Like, from when you were a kid, you were probably saw other kids biking around all the time. And, like, what's different nowadays, I guess?
Well, nowadays, kids can't go outside by themselves. I mean, neighborhoods, I can't imagine a mother saying, okay, go out and play for 4 hours, you know, without supervision. Going down to the park, Pearl Park, or down to Lake Harriet just by ourselves, and people just don't do that anymore. But it is funny because when I was a couple years ago walking around downtown, and there was a young child with, I think, his father, and they were walking around. They looked up at the Fauché Tower, and they said, the dad said to his son, you know, when your grandfather was young, that was the tallest building. I thought to myself, when I was young, that was the tallest building too. So I'm as old as your grandfather. But I remember the Fauché Tower being this tallest building downtown. It was always great to take the bus down Grandma would take us down, and we'd go to Woolworth's and sit at the fountain, have lunch, and then maybe go up to the top of the Fauchet and look around. And, you know, then the IDS was built, and it's like, oh, that's too big.
Too big.
Right.
For a lot of, like, our young parents, I'm sure summers can be kind of super busy and stressful, even though, like, the pace of life changes. I remember when I was young, it was always like, all right, Leah's got to go to this camp. Jill's got to go to this camp. Like, we were all always doing different things. What kind of advice do you have for those parents that really want to slow down but don't feel like they can?
Don't send your kids to camp. or send them to overnight camps so that you can slow down. No, because we never went to camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, if I was on a baseball team, I'd go down to the park by myself, practice, whatever. We weren't as busy as parents are today. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate that they're running here, running there, dropping your kids off here, dropping your kids off there. Just at least take some time one day during the week where you can just all be home or do something together, go to the park or to the zoo. There's so many activities around the cities during the summer outdoors. Just to be able to take time to go and do that, participate in that, and make time to do it. And so that, you know, you don't overbook your children, or don't sit at home and watch TV or let them be on their phones. Or, you know, and I'm not one to walk around listening to my phone either when I'm downtown. I love just, you know, being free.
Yeah.
Leave that at home or my back pocket and just go and wander, look and listen and see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you pray a lot on your walks?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice way to do it.
Yeah. Is it like, I've a lot of friends always do their rosary on a walk. Are you rosary on a walk kind of guy?
I'm a rosary walk kind of guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my childhood now a little bit and how sometimes it seems like, like I would go to all these camps and I had fun at them. But I guess what I remember most about like growing up in the summer was like being in the backyard with my neighbors and my sisters.
Yeah.
That was like the most memorable part, not the things that maybe we signed up for to like be entertained all the time.
Right. Because you didn't have to be. I mean, that's part of the whole creativity, your imagination. And I wonder if children have that today in this sense. But to be able to go out and make forts in the little neighborhoods or do this or do that, then you made it up as you went. And your imagination really helped it be developed, that creative part of who you are.
Yeah, there was something so magical about like once you're out of school, like, oh, wow, I'm free to just imagine and play games all the time.
Right. And read books. I mean, I wasn't a big reader, but I love sitting down and reading a book in the summer, too. And we always got reading lists from school.
Ah.
Suggested. I mean, it wasn't required, but to be able to go to the library, get the book, and sit down and read.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite book that you remember from reading when you were growing up?
I was trying to remember driving over here, there was two, but I don't remember the names of them. One was a science fiction book that I just loved, and the other one was a guy who had a little donut machine and sold donuts. And I mean, one of the people helping lost her diamond ring in the donut, and so they had to try to figure out which donut it was that had the diamond ring in there.
I've never
mystery.
Heard of it.
No, it was. I know it.
For not remembering the name, you remember a lot about the book.
I love the story, I know. So I always wanted to work at a mini donut stand, you know, because it just moved me so much.
Your call before your call.
That's right.
Are you much of a reader now, too? Do you have time for that as a bishop?
I don't. I didn't have time as a priest either. Have time as a priest either, but let me tell you, I have stacks of books at home that I want to... would love to read.
Yeah.
But now you sit down and start reading and I fall asleep.
That's what my boss was just telling me right before this.
Right.
I am a huge reader. And in the summer, I always try and read as many books as I can because I can just sit outside and read. And that's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. I love going down to a park bench or something and just reading.
What kind of summer plans do you have this summer? You mentioned it slows down a little bit at St. Olaf. And confirmations are wrapping up here, too. So those won't be on your plate.
No, we have a pilgrimage planned to Norway to walk the footsteps of St. Olaf.
Really? Wow.
So it's 20 of us are going from the parish. We have a 60-mile walk in 5 days. So
wow.
I've been kind of training for that, going out for a little extra long
yeah.
walks. And then we'll, then we'll spend the weekend in Trondheim where the Olaf Fest yeah. will be going on during that time.
That is so special.
Yeah.
How amazing to celebrate your parish's patron like
right.
that.
Yeah, it'll be really fun.
Yeah. One of my favorite authors, her name is Sigrid Undset. She's from Norway, so I've always wanted to go to Norway. Some of her books take place in Trondheim, is that how you say
yep.
it? Okay,
yep.
yeah.
Yeah, I've never been either, so I'm really looking forward to going.
That'll be so special. You're mostly Irish, correct?
Correct.
You're not Scandinavian at all?
No.
Or any of your parishioners? I'm sure they are.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, that'll
Being
be special.
Minnesotans and Scandinavians.
And in between all of the travel of summer, other trips going on, how can we be disciplined in summer? This is something I'm kind of struggling with right now. Like, the sun's out. I just want to be outside. Like, it's kind of hard to have a routine for me, I guess.
It is. And there's a lot of ice cream stores open, Dairy Queens. And so you always want ice cream during the summer.
Exactly.
So there's always an ice cream stop that you can make. Reading your books outside, doing gardening. It's hard to be disciplined in the summer. Very, very. But why would you want to be disciplined? I mean, what do you have to do? Oh, we have to go to work. I mean,
yeah.
That's the one thing.
That's kind of the thing.
No longer summer vacations, right? Okay, I'm
yeah.
taking 3 months off. We have to go to work, but then you can find ways of after work, what are you going to do? And, you know, have a little plan there, discipline. And,
mm-hmm.
But I always say just enjoy, relax. Enjoy the summer months because winter is so long.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3 months of summer. And especially now before all the mosquitoes and bugs come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time to be out and about in the cities and throughout Minnesota.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe discipline. I guess discipline's important to have. Like,
right.
It's important I pray every day. It's important I go to, like, I'm disciplined enough to go to Mass on Sunday. But maybe some of that can be relaxed a little bit. And, yeah.
Well, yeah, God says, I mean, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and find light burdensome, and I will give you rest. Summer is a time of rest, I always figured. And
yeah.
Jesus is saying, no, come on, let's have fun. Do this, do that. And I mean, it's early, the sun comes up early enough that, okay, get up and pray.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to say get it over with, but pray.
Start your day that way.
I know. And then the day, you have a full day ahead of you.
Yeah.
You know, and at night when it's about 9:30, 10, it's just getting dark. You're like, okay, Lord, thank you. This was a beautiful day. Good
yeah.
night.
What advice do you have for someone who wants to, like, have a meaningful summer like that? Kind of like what you're describing.
Don't let it slip by. I mean, decide what you want to do, but don't overpack it. And then just make a list of to-dos during the summer or, you know, your 10 top places you want to go and do it because summer goes by rather quickly.
Really
and
does.
I always think because come June 21st, the days start getting shorter. And that's like, oh no. You know, and then I'm still in the mentality that after July 4th, you have to start planning to go back to school. It's like, no, wait, I'm not in school. I don't have to plan. I still got 2 full months.
I don't have to go back to school shopping anymore.
And then when all that starts coming out, you know, back to school sales and this and that, it's like, oh, it's kind of depressing. But don't let it slip away. Just plan what you want to do and give yourself permission to do so.
Hmm. Yeah, and there's lots of great... It seems like there's lots of great activities just to do right here in your neighborhood.
I know downtown on Wednesday nights at the park outside of U.S. Bank Stadium, they have movies. So I love to just walk down there. And I mean, they don't start till 9 because that's when it's dark. And sit and watch the movie as
oh,
long
that's
as
great.
I, you know, are entertained. And then, oh, bugs are coming out, mosquitoes, or let me go home. Or But, you know, it's those kind of things, or concerts on the mall, or, you know, or around the lakes.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something.
Yeah, there really is, yeah.
Yeah.
My friends and I, or my roommate specifically, always talks about, like, once spring comes, all of our friends just suddenly like want to hang out all the time. Like everyone's kind of done their own thing in the winter, and now suddenly everyone's like, all right, what are we doing tonight? What are we doing tomorrow?
Right. And that's fun.
It is
fun.
We have
to see each other and hang out.
Mm-hmm. As we look ahead to these summer months, what kind of encouragement do you have for listeners?
Again, enjoy them. Don't take them for granted. Take time for yourself and give yourself permission to rest, to relax, because Jesus gives us permission to do so as well.
Mm-hmm. And maybe visit Bishop Kenny at St. Olaf, too.
Oh, you can, sure. Or do a tour of churches, you know. That was a fun thing a couple years ago with the passport. People running around. But
oh, so fun. That was such a blast.
I know. But yeah, St. Olaf is always there for you. Come on by. Bring ice cream with you.
Thanks so much for joining us, Bishop Kenny. Will you leave our listeners with your blessing?
I will. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Coming up next, Mike and Kristen Fulcher share how one simple invitation helped their family find a faith community and why extending the same invitation to others can change lives.
Little by little, you're climbing up the mountain, and now you've got new challenges.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
I really need to work at loving my annoying coworker, you know, whose cubicle is right next to mine, and he or she just is driving me nuts. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I wonder, you know, how our Lord dealt with the chronically annoying. I bet he gave them, you know, the best that he could. But I mean, that's a tough thing to love that person, even in their, you know, where they are. The spiritual life is not just about like playing not to lose, we're playing to win, right? We don't want to just merely avoid sin. We want to keep growing in charity.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
The true and lasting joy of loving God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. Mm. And that involves a big mountain climb. You're not going to get there tomorrow.
11 a.m. Central Time on RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app. Talk that brings Christ to the world. Relevant Radio.
I'm speaking today with Monsignor James Shea.
To seek genuine and lasting happiness is a deeply human pursuit. People are losing their capacity to, or their ability to believe that this world and its promises really can fulfill their deepest wants and desires. And that's very fertile ground for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you know, what happened in the planting of the Catholic Church, what happened in the original proclamation of the gospel, was that an entirely new way of seeing reality was revealed to the human race. And so we have that, and it's important that all of us who are believers are doing whatever we can to assist in waking up our brothers and sisters as possible. That includes living our faith with vitality and with witness.
Broadcasting hope for 25 years. This is Relevant Radio. The Family Rosary Across America.
I love doing the rosary at night because it puts me in contact with real people who have real needs and hopes and dreams and sufferings. So it's real.
Real prayers, real families, all together in real time.
It's unchoreographed. All right, it's natural. It's happening live. Anyone can be part of it. It's not too sophisticated. And you never know what's going to happen, right? And that's what prayer is in families. Life happens. And sometimes there's joyful reports and sometimes there's heartbreaking reports. You know, it was Our Lady at Fatima, Our Lady at Lourdes who prayed the rosary for the conversion of sinners. It was Our Lady at Our Lady of Champion who said pray for the conversion of sinners. That's what we're doing. Give people a little bit of hope or a little bit of companionship. You know, there's a lot of lonely people out there, a lot of suffering people. And we're going to make sure that they're not forgotten and they're not irrelevant. At Relevant Radio, everyone's relevant.
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Sometimes the most important moments in our faith begin with a simple invitation. Joining us today to talk about the power of being welcomed into community, responding to God's invitation, and creating space for others to encounter Him are Mike and Kristen Fulcher, who have experienced firsthand how invitation can transform a family's faith journey. Mike and Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Leah.
And it's just me today interviewing Mike and Kristen. No Father Tom, sadly. We miss you, Father Tom. But can you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves, where you're from? How'd you guys meet? Ladies first.
Ladies first, exactly. Well, I moved around a lot as a child, moved to Minnesota in elementary school and settled in the area. And then we actually met in college in Ohio, where he was from, where I had some family roots, and we went to Xavier University. And so we had our first son. We got married in 2012, had him in 2013, and then we moved back home to be closer to family, and have been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I am originally from Ohio and met an amazing Minnesota woman. Very glad about that. and we have six kids now, and we're parishioners at St. Peter in North St. Paul.
Great place, great place. What did you guys study at Xavier University?
I was political science, and now I work in healthcare, so no affiliation with anything I do now.
Well, it's helpful. It's helpful in every circumstance.
Exactly.
I studied psychology and biology and then went to grad school for neuropsych.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what do you do now?
I'm home with our kids. Oh, I homeschool them. This is our first year. Best job. Yes. So our youngest is 2 and our oldest is 13, and do a lot of volunteering at the parish. And it's just a beautiful place to build community. And I always say, when people ask, so are you going to get a job when the baby's in kindergarten? That a lot of the most important work I've never been paid for.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Just keep doing that for now.
And now if they're homeschooled, then you can't get
rid of them. can't get rid of them.
Exactly. That'll be great. So I don't know if our listeners have watched the Reclaiming Sundays video series yet, but in your segment of the videos, you talked about invitation into community life and how that influenced your family. Can you guys share that story a little bit here?
Yeah, when we moved here in 2015, we were looking for a community that we could really lay down deep roots in. We knew that this was going to be our final move. We had moved from Ohio, and we were just not wanting to move across the country or anywhere else again. And we felt very called to live in the Twin Cities here. And we went church shopping, and we tried some different parishes in the Northeast Metro. We had actually gotten married at St. Peter's. We knew it was a beautiful church, and that's where Kristen went to middle school. And so, but we wanted to make sure we kept our options open. Mm-hmm. And while we were still house searching and looking for a church, we went to St. Peter's a couple times. And after one of the masses, a couple of the dads at the parish came up to me and invited us to a group called the Holy Family Guild, just to try out a potluck that they would do twice a month and spend time in fellowship and food and prayer. And it felt like an answered prayer and request that we had been making to try to find friends that were at the similar stage of life that we were in, and that we could really grow in our faith and as well as people. And so we went to some of these activities. The DREs at the time invited us over for dinner, and within a couple of months, we've put an offer in for a home that was less than a mile from the parish, and we're very grateful to have moved there. And we decided to just make St. Peter's our home. And even though we moved 5 years ago again to a different house, it was still within the North St. Paul area. And so we've stayed very close to the parish and are very grateful that people reached out to us to invite them into what fed them, so that then we could experience it, and then we can in turn invite others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wonderful to be able, when we were considering moving, as we were expecting our fifth child, we really didn't want to move far, but it's hard, you know, when to find something that fits a family and our budget and all of those things. And so we really turned it over to the Lord and just asked, like, if you want us to be close by to make it happen. And that's an amazing story of how he really provided that home. And when we told our family and friends we were moving, there was some trepidation. How far is it going to be? Yeah. And it was just on the other side of the same park. So our kids were so happy. You know, we really did not move communities at all.
Yeah, they don't have to change parks.
They didn't
that's
even
important.
Have to change parks. Yes, exactly. So that's been a real blessing. We can bike to church, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, 2015 was a really difficult time for the Archdiocese. And like, to come into the church right now, you would think, I guess I would think, I was in high school, I think, so like, I would think it would be kind of discouraging to come into a church that's really broken and a lot of difficult things are going on. But you guys met a lot of great fruits with that, I guess.
Yeah, I think actually that's such a good point, because growing up, we had a, my family was involved with the Living Stations of the Cross, which we do every Good Friday. And then there were a kind of a community formed around that where there's a summer retreat and a lot of families of different generations that all are together. And those were the most deep and real relationships I had ever known. And so when we were looking to move back, it was really the draw to say, I know real community is here. Mm-hmm. Despite what's going on in the world, I know people will know who I am. And so that's important. And so whatever suffering is going on, actually the community is what gets you through it. And I think that that was what really drew us. And you know, the church is broken and it always has been and always will be. But if you've been loved there, then you'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was it about like those simple invitations to the Holy Family Guild or like just coming over for dinner at someone's house? Like it seems so simple, but it's clearly impacted your family a lot.
I think now having six kids and having people over for dinner on a pretty regular basis, when you invite someone into your home, you're inviting them into definitely not like the Chip and Joanna Gaines like model home and like everything's clean and put away, but it's like, okay, we've got 5 minutes to do this tidy and oh look, there's the dog just had an accident on the floor. There's a baby running around without a diaper on, and so it's just this is what we're inviting you into. And so I think looking back on it, I think it's just very vulnerable to bring others into your home, especially when you have young kids. And then I think as did you want to add something?
Well, yeah, it's a sacrifice to invite people into your home, and it's vulnerable. And I don't think it's really a part of our American culture as much anymore, like dinner parties, just simply having people over for coffee. It feels like it has to be a big production that you prepare so much. And it really doesn't have to be. And I think that, you know, we really, it's such a simple thing. You have to eat anyway. Right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to eat anyway. You have a table, presumably, for everyone to sit. And we don't have a table big enough. Like it just fits our family. We can fit maybe two more, but we have an island. And so a lot of times the adults will sit there and the kids will all take over the table. We make it work. And people just feel, I know we felt when we were invited, like, wow, this is their real life and they're letting us see it. And it's a sacrifice. And so we feel very honored and like, loved. And then we try to do that and not set the bar so high that it has to be this gourmet meal with a perfectly clean house, and just make it doable, and people really respond and they feel that hospitality.
Yeah Can you say more about like what kind of response you've seen from people you guys have invited into your home?
I think usually it's gratitude, and once a year we go on a messy family board meeting where the two of us just go away for a night and we kind of envision what this next year looks like. And almost every year we have a number of families that we want to invite over, and oftentimes they're new families that we haven't had, but we've seen them at Mass. And so we're very intentional with trying to get to know people at the parish and then invite them over. And I think for the most part it's gratitude and excitement. We've told our kids this when they invite friends over, that sometimes you're going to have an interaction and that person's not going to want to come over, but that's okay. They may have their reasons for not doing that, but it's still part of our mission to invite others into that experience that we've had. And then when we invite them to Holy Family Guild, we've continued it on, and we do once a month now. And so to be able to invite people to something at the parish that they may feel more comfortable with coming to instead of our home, has been helpful to try to kind of bridge that gap and knowing where people may be in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you seen from your kids, like growing up with this environment of invitation?
It's been really beautiful. They, you know, one of the things that we shy away from is doing like a traditional birthday party for them. Mm-hmm. We try not to have like invite five friends over and get a bag of goodies that everyone just wants to get out of their house as soon as possible. So often, but we do want to celebrate them and build community in a sustainable way. So we've offered to them to have a family, like whoever they want over for dinner, because we want to get to know the whole family. So what we've seen is that sometimes the kids will really gravitate towards someone that's a little older or younger that they might not have met at school, or they might not know, you know, in other sports settings or things like that, but they really click. And so now they can come over. It doesn't have to be just a one-to-one relationship. We get to know the whole family. And then they love being with the little ones in another family and like pouring into them and just how cute they are, and the older ones and looking up to them. So we really have seen that it's you know, we only have one cousin so far for our kids, and like, but they have a whole community that feels like cousins because they've just been around them for so many years. And I kind of expected them to start wanting to invite new families, but they often go back to the ones we know well because it's just like, I love these people and they know me, and they're excited to see me. And for them to receive that sort of love beyond just their immediate or extended family is really special. So they just, they've responded really well to that invitation.
Yeah.
And I think because they see us inviting other people into different experiences, they feel comfortable doing it too. And so it's very beautiful to see them. And sometimes they need a little prompting to do this, but there's a kid over there at the playground who's not playing with anyone. Go over there and invite them. And oftentimes it's, like this is just a very natural thing to do. And that's definitely a proud dad moment. It can lead to some long conversations after Mass. And
we don't get out of there for a while.
We don't get out of there for a while. And oftentimes that's great. But then when we get to be 45 minutes after Mass and no one's had lunch, it gets a little bit hairy in the car ride. Yeah.
It's a long 2 minutes back home.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about myself. I go to the Cathedral of St. Paul, so it is a big, it's a big parish. And I see, I know the people that I normally see at 10 a.m., like, I recognize them. A lot of times, I'm always a little hesitant to try and introduce myself to people because I don't know if, oh, do they go here all the time and I'm just oblivious to them? Or is this their first time here? Like, what about for people who are in those big parishes? Like, what is that called different to, for invitation? What is it, what do you guys think it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, at St. Peter, it's funny because there are people I've met and I'm like, oh, are you new? And they're like, no, I've been going to the same Mass as you for several years. And I'm like, oh, wow. But they sit on the other side. Mm-hmm. So even just like being in a different seat, you know, part section of the church, you might not see people or know them. I do think that having kids is kind of a social lubricant a little bit. The kids might get to get to know each other. It's also like, it could be a little intense going up to the first time you meet someone and saying, would you like to come to our house for dinner? That might be a little like, ooh, what's going on at your house? But that's why we have gotten involved and initiated some parish, you know, led groups, because that is a more, that kind of is a little less intimidating. Like Mike said, Holy Family Yield is a potluck at the parish. And so that feels like maybe a good baby step. I also have a well-read mom group. It's an established group. And so to invite them to that, if that fits their demographic, or we have two synod small groups that we help to lead. And so it's like, if you have a specific thing to see, you know, I think you would fit here in something we're doing, and it has kind of the backing of the parish that maybe is a little bit less intimidating. And then the dinner invitation comes a little bit later.
Yeah. So kind of knowing what's going on at your parish, being involved at your parish, and then inviting them into that like parish life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also help out with the men's basketball group that we play at the parish. And, so between well-read mom and that, it's like if you're a man or a woman, we have something that we can invite you into. And oftentimes we may not necessarily recognize someone, like the example that Kristen gave, but we see this, we go to the same Mass every week, so we see the same people pretty regularly. And every once in a while, yeah, we'll have those situations where we invite or we talk to someone and ask how long you've been going here. And it's like, I've been here before you've been here. And it's like, yep, you're right. Sorry about that. Well, nice to
little
meet you.
Little humble moment.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Hearing like just about this call to invitation, it just, it's so in line with the gospel, I guess. On the day of this recording, it's the Feast of St. John the Baptist. So I keep thinking about like how John the Baptist was like that pointed toward Christ and like and was that precursor to him. And yeah, I just see a lot of parallels there, I guess.
Yeah, we're a big fan of The Chosen, and one of the taglines is come and see. And so I think that's kind of our approach sometimes is just come and see. And, you know, we're not asking someone to commit to 40 years of friendship with us. That's great if they do. Like, we'll take it. But sometimes it's just come and see what this well-read mom, small group, Holy Family Guild, basketball is about. And, you know, our relationship is ultimately first with Christ, and so we want people to have that relationship, but we also want to share how we've been blessed with our lives and invite others into that.
I think another helpful thing has been to get to know our clergy, who are such a gift and spread so thin, and they you know, can only have deep personal relationships with so many people, right? But when our pastor recently invited a woman over to a table I was at because he knew she was interested in an adoration hour, and I was at the adoration table. And then he was like, invite her to your small group. And so I did, and we exchanged numbers. And then it's been beautiful to see just the growth in friendship and spiritually for this woman over the last year. And so I think that, you know, we can work together as a parish community too, to like invite together. We're all on this same team, and you don't have to, I think sometimes it's a struggle because you only have so much time for so many deep personal relationships.
Yeah.
Right. And so does that mean I don't need to invite anymore if I'm at capacity? No, it doesn't mean that you're inviting somebody in to the depth of your heart the first time you meet them, but you're inviting them into parish life. You're inviting them into a place where they could belong and help them get connected. And just a smiling face, you know? So, yeah, I think that it can take a lot of forms, and the Holy Spirit will guide us in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just kind of the nature of community life, is that like you're closer with some people in some families than you are with others, but it's meant to grow and spread.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. My college friend group, it was just like our group of friends from college that graduated, and we all stayed around the Twin Cities. And now we've all been graduated about 5 years, and the friend group has just grown so much that half the people didn't even go to college with us.
Wow.
Or we may be new in college, but we weren't friends with them then. But like, it's really the call of community life is to see someone who's lacking something, I guess, like who's looking for community, looking for friendships, and then being able to have something to bring them into.
Yeah, I think a lot of this for me, I moved around a lot as a kid, lived in Florida and several cities in Ohio, and then moved several times in communities in Minnesota. And so it was a place of a lot of hurt, of feeling on the outside of people who had these established relationships, and I wasn't there. And I think God has really allowed that, because that empathy is then really in the depth of my heart to see someone on the outside and say, I can reach out to one more. You know, because that was me. We have a small group for moms with young children, and we recently had to do a multiplication or a division into two, because there were so many. When you have 12 moms and all their kids for coffee in the morning, it's absolute insanity, as you can imagine. And so we had to split and get new leadership and help to decide who's going to go in what group. And it was painful and it was hard, because really when you find something that feeds you, you want it to remain the way it is. Yeah. And what I reminded them is, like, a living cell divides if it's healthy, right? And if it doesn't grow, then it's dying. Yeah. And so and things are always changing. And so it's okay to mourn that change happens, but also, you know, imagine how the life of this next mom is going to be changed by keeping a seat at the table for her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really beautiful. Like, if the early church just stayed in Antioch where they were first called Christians, like, then where would we be? Like, if Paul and Barnabas, like, didn't separate and teach Timothy and whoever Barnabas went off with, I don't remember. like, I don't know. Like, they wouldn't have gotten their call and been able to do what Christ was trying to encourage them to do.
Yeah, they were like wailing and weeping when Paul left, and I'm sure it was painful for him too. Like, he loved them. He wasn't going out because he needed to get another notch in his belt.
Yeah, yeah.
He loved them, but he loved Jesus more, and he loved the people that didn't know him.
Yeah, yeah. For someone listening who kind of feels like you were saying, just kind of disconnected from the community life, like, maybe they're kind of like on the margins in their parish, what do you suggest for them?
Show up at Mass and pray that the Lord will bless you with the person you're supposed to interact with. I think, like Kristen said, like, her having moved around kind of has a built in an empathy. I went a few years without having a lot of deep friendships in my life early in our adulthood. And so being able to just be willing to ask the Lord's help, and sometimes you have to, or I've had to just kind of step out and be bold. And maybe I'm more of an introvert than Kristen, but to be willing to just kind of put yourself out there and be willing to talk to someone. And it's not always perfect and ideal, but we're all looking for, I think, community and friendship. And there's a lot that the church offers, if you go to St. Peter's, come find us after Mass, and we would love to talk with you.
I think that was a great answer, especially, you know, just turning to the Lord and asking him for friends. There's a woman I'm thinking of in particular who's lovely, and she was like, I really want friends, and I don't know how to get into this community. And someone spoke about a way that she felt called to, like, right after Mass that day. And mm-hmm. so she just opened that part of her heart in Mass, and, like, it was answered. Mm-hmm. And so I think going to Adoration, that was another thing. We really wanted to be in a parish with an Adoration chapel. And it's like, if you go an hour a week and bring your problems and bring your loneliness, like, he will solve the problem, you mm-hmm. know? We just have to make room for it. And I think he will, I mean, I know he'll come through and answer it. And I think the second thing is just recognizing that our isolation is not our fault. Like, our culture is so isolated right now. You can stay in all day and all night and be on a screen and feel connected in this brief way. And it's just not real. And it's not enough. We need to be tangibly together. And it's very vulnerable and hard when most of the culture isn't doing that and mm-hmm. is just kind of staying isolated. And so to just know, like, if you feel lonely, join the club of most mm-hmm. of us. But we do need each other. And so it's going to feel scary. And you just do it anyway. Mm. And just stay after Mass a few minutes.
Yeah.
Don't rush out the door.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like there's a degree to, like, be open to it. And yeah, I like what you said too, Mike, about, like, being courageous and bold, and just maybe you have to start by inviting someone too, I guess.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. We have a couple minutes left here. What are some practical ways that listeners can be more intentional about inviting others into faith and friendship? I guess we've already talked about, like, things in the parish, though, but, like, if there's a parish where things aren't as popping, I guess, yeah. for lack of a better word. Like what kind of advice do you have for those people?
First, take things to prayer. Kristen mentioned, taking things to Adoration, the Lord always provides an answer. Sometimes it's not the answer that we want or expect. Sometimes it means you're going to be asked to start something at your parish or your school or your community, and that is a big undertaking, but it's what the Lord wants. And then I think that making sure that your cup is filled too with the relationships mm-hmm. that you already have or that you're looking for, I think is very important. We wouldn't be able to invite new families over if we didn't have our cup being fed by not just the Lord, but with friendships that we've built over now 11 years within our parish community.
Hmm. Oh. Can't say it better than that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. If our listeners want to watch Mike and Kristen's video from the Reclaiming Sundays series, you can go to archspm.org/Sundays. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks so much,
Leah. Thanks for having us.
Don't go anywhere. Up next, we'll share events happening around our archdiocese, including a concert you won't want to miss.
Broadcasting hope for 25 years. This is Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Megan in San Francisco. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Patrick. I wanted to thank you today for being there on the radio. I was driving my third grader to school. I was just so thankful just to be able to go to you and to be enlightened and instructed and educated, and I know it helps educate my daughter and enlighten her mind.
Talk that brings Christ to the world. Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful to you, and grateful to the Lord for all the good things that he does for people during the time that we're on the air.
Hey, well, thank you so much again, and praise the Lord.
Amen to that, that's for sure. We're all in it together here at Relevant Radio. This is why, especially around Pledge Drive time, we talk about join the family, because we really are a family.
One big family bringing Christ to the world. Relevant Radio. The Family Rosary Across America.
I love doing the rosary at night because it puts me in contact with real people who have real needs and hopes and dreams and sufferings. Or it's real.
Real prayers, real families, all together in real time.
It's unchoreographed. All right, it's natural. It's happening live. Anyone can be part of it. It's not too sophisticated. And you never know what's going to happen, right? And that's what prayer is in families. Life happens. And sometimes there's joyful reports and sometimes there's heartbreaking reports. You know, it was Our Lady at Fatima, Our Lady at Lourdes who prayed the rosary for the conversion of sinners. It was Our Lady and Our Lady of Champion We say pray for the conversion, since that's what we're doing. Give people a little bit of hope or a little bit of companionship. Yeah, there's a lot of lonely people out there, a lot of suffering people. And we're going to make sure that they're not forgotten and they're not irrelevant. At Relevant Radio, everyone's relevant.
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Little by little, you're climbing up the mountain, and now you've got new challenges.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
I really need to work at loving my annoying coworker, you know, whose cubicle is right next to mine, and he or she just is driving me nuts. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I wonder, you know, how our Lord dealt with the chronically annoying. I bet he gave them, you know, the best that he could. But I mean, that's a tough thing to love that person, even in their, you know, where they are. The spiritual life is not just about like playing not to lose. We're playing to win, right? We don't want to just merely avoid sin. We want to keep growing in charity.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
The true and lasting joy of loving God with your whole heart and your neighbor as yourself. And that involves a big mountain climb. You're not going to get there tomorrow.
11 a.m. Central Time on RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app.
What a fantastic episode this week. We have got a lot of events coming up here in the Archdiocese. And joining me to go over these events and share them with our listeners is Rachel McCallum, our producer, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Father Tom is not here, so it's just the three of us. Paul, do you want to kick us off?
It's an unforgettable evening at His Name Hallowed Outdoor Summer Concert. It's coming up Friday, July 10th. 5 to 9:30 p.m. at Holy Family High School in Victoria. This family-friendly event features national recording artist Steph Schlater, local food trucks, Eucharistic adoration under the stars. Come enjoy live music, community, and prayer in a powerful outdoor setting as we gather to worship together this summer. Tickets are available now. Learn more at archspm.org/events. That's coming up July 10th. Holy Family Catholic High School in Victoria.
How cool that there's a concert that starts with adoration. That's pretty awesome.
So beautiful. That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, this event is a little ways out, but confirmation classes for persons with disabilities will be held on Saturday, August 1st and 15th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. at St. Richard in Richfield. These sessions are designed for individuals aged 14 and older with special needs or mental or physical disabilities who have not received the sacrament of confirmation. Both classes are mandatory for candidates and their guardians, and pre-registration is preferred, though walk-ins are welcome. As always, you can learn more by visiting our website at archspm.org/events. Again, that's coming up August 1st and 15th from 9:30 to 11:30 at St. Richard in Richfield.
If you're someone you know has not received the sacrament of confirmation and falls under those categories, share that with them. It's a great ministry that we have offering here in the Archdiocese. Our next event is a Crucio Men's Weekend, which will be July 9th through 12th at St. Patrick in Invergrove Heights. The cost will be $50. The Crucio Way and its methods are endorsed and encouraged by the Catholic Church. And these weekends are an opportunity, this time for men, to step away from the daily grind and set aside time to nourish your spirit. This encounter with Christ offers an opportunity to expand your prayer life, grow in faith, and learn about a method to keep your faith journey vibrant within a supportive Christian community. There'll be a women's weekend the weekend following, which is July 16th through 19th. I've heard great things about these methods. It's nice that couples can be a part of Crucio together, but also have these times separate.
Crucio is a wonderful program. No question.
It's fantastic. Yes. So if you want to learn more about the Crucio Men's Weekend or Women's Weekend, go to archspm.org/events.
Good stuff. All good stuff.
Exactly. Next week on the show, we'll have Amanda Post to share her inspiring conversion story and how she is evangelizing and encouraging others in faith journeys. Plus, Lisa Ndeno, Director of Young Adult Ministry at St. Victoria, will be joining us as well to explore practical ways to reconnect young adults within the church and the faith. We don't have Father Tom to close us with a blessing, so we'll do the lay form of a blessing here.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows, find us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay connected with us. Visit our website, practicingcatholicshow.com, or follow us on social media at Practicing Catholic Show. We'll be back again next week. Go, go.